I want God's way to be my way. I sigh journey here below.
Shalom, saints, and welcome to Reflections on Faith. This is your friend and brother, Jason Zima, welcoming you to the program. And we are starting a new episode. But before we continue to introduce it to you, I'm in the studio. I'm with Pastor Andrew Sipiri. Pastor, welcome to the program once more.
Oh, thank you, Brother Nzima, and God bless you.
Amen. So we are on, Pastor, with a new topic. Apparently, it's a question. And this question is over one of the fundamental doctrines. And it is bordering, the question is on baptism. Yeah. Someone wants to know what exactly, because there seems to be so many kinds or types of baptisms. Mm. So I have four questions with me here. Let me read all of them at once, then you can pick on the, you can pick them as you expound them to us. The first question is, what is baptism and what is the correct way of doing it? That is the first question. The second one is, how important is it? Can one be saved without it? The third one is, what name should be used during baptism? And the fourth one, if a person was baptized wrongly, can he or she be baptized again?
Those are profound questions, Brother Nzima. And let us look at the first question. What is baptism? Like you've rightly put it, there are different explanations or answers to these questions. But well, if it is a Bible question, there is only one correct Bible answer to that question.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, let us read Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. In this passage of scripture, we find the instruction concerning baptism, when the Lord Jesus gave the instruction concerning baptism. Now, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, it is in verse 19 where we find the instruction to baptize people. Mm-hmm. Now, first things first, what is to baptize? This word baptize comes from a Greek word baptizo. That is the word you would find in the Greek. And the word simply means to immerse or to submerge. Mm-hmm. And right from there, you can see that you can never submerge or immerse someone by sprinkling them with water.
That's right.
So now, before we look at what is the significance of baptism, we're looking at what the word itself means. It means to immerse, okay, to submerge under water. And so now, we of course have churches which sprinkle people, and I don't really understand why they have to do it that way. And of course, people would try to give all sorts of explanations. But well, we don't want to go in this theology and that history and all that, because it's a very simple thing, starting from the simple description of the word itself. Mm. And now, when you read Mark 1 verse 10.
Mark 1 verse 10.
Yes. It emphasizes on the meaning of immersion or submerging. Mark 1 verse 10. You can read, brother.
And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him.
Now, do you notice, Brother Nzima, that it says, straightway coming up out of the water.
Yes.
So you can only come up out of the water if you had been submerged.
That's right.
Or immersed. And the other thing is, the other scripture we can read is John 3, verse 23.
John
3. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salim, because there was much water there.
So
and they came and were baptized.
Now you can see here the reason why John chose this particular place to carry out this baptismal service.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason given for why that place was chosen is because there was much water. Brother Nzima, you don't need much water to sprinkle.
You only
need a cup full of water.
Yes.
But they had to look for a place where there was much water.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I hope with these three verses we have given, it should be very clear to anyone interested in knowing the truth. This should be very clear that to baptize is to immerse. So if you were baptized by sprinkling, there is a contradiction of language itself, you know.
That's
so
right.
Baptized means you need to be immersed.
Mm.
Now, let us look at the second question.
Mm-hmm.
The second question. What was the second question, brother?
The second question was, how important is it? Can one be saved without it? That was the second question.
All right. Now, it may surprise you to know that there are Christians
mm-hmm.
who believe baptism isn't that important. As a matter of fact, I've heard people say it's just about faith, you know. You don't need to go underwater, you just believe it in your heart.
Mm.
Now, that cannot be. That cannot be. Let's see how important baptism is. Remember, it was a command given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us go to Mark 1, verse 15. How important is baptism? Can one do without it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where this scripture is. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it, brother.
And he said unto them,
mm.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
He that believeth.
Listen to that. Read it again.
He
that believeth.
And is baptized.
And is baptized. How many things?
Two things.
He that
believeth
and
is baptized. Shall be saved.
So now this speaks about salvation. So for you to be saved, the Lord Jesus says, you must, number one,
believe.
And number two,
be baptized. That's right.
Okay, so when you're talking about salvation, there's an aspect of believing. That is true.
Mm.
That is something which happens in your heart. But this faith isn't just something which happens in your heart. There has to be a public confession of it. You need to be a witness and to declare, you know, that you've died to your old life and you are rising in the newness of life.
Mm.
So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm.
So now, saved, that speaks about salvation.
Mm.
Now, well, when someone says, I just believe it in the heart. Now, this is a sinner that is saved by grace when he repents. But let us look at what would be the answer or what would Jesus do if he was you, you who is saying, I just believe it in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go to Matthew 3, verse 13. Matthew 3, verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him.
Now, this is Jesus when he was just about to start his ministry. he went to John. Now, we know that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. And John was just a messenger to prepare the way of this great one who was coming. But yet, the Lord Jesus saw the need of him getting baptized. Not because he was sinful, no. But listen, when John saw that, when John saw this great one coming to him, John felt unworthy. And in verse 14,
but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?
So John feels unworthy. He feels, well, he can't baptize Jesus. But let's hear what the Lord answers.
And Jesus, answering, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
To fulfill all righteousness.
Then he suffered him.
Now, if the Son of God, who was sinless, was careful enough to fulfill all righteousness, all that is required of a believer to do, where does that leave you? A sinner saved by grace. Well, we also need to fulfill all righteousness. But now, there is a third question you read, brother. I want you to say it, because what we want to get into is very important, and it is still tied to the importance of baptism.
All right, so the third question is, what name should be used during baptism?
Now, I want us to go back to Mark 16, Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes. Now, like we said, this is about salvation. And for salvation to take place, there has to be believing, and one has to be baptized. These two things constitute salvation. Now, here is something interesting. Salvation is received through a name. Now, remember, all humanity was sinful, and without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no salvation. Mankind would have been lost forever. But here, we are given this blessed hope that if we believe and are saved, I mean, and are baptized, we shall be saved. Now, you know that in John 3:16, a well-known verse, John 3:16 says something about believing also. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you see, in the book of Mark, we read that him that believeth and is baptized. The question is, him that believeth what? Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him. Now, who is this? Believing in Jesus. Now, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? This is not just an intellectual conception to say, well, I believe Jesus came to die for me. Well, I can guarantee you, you move in many places, perhaps in a pub or wherever, even places where you don't expect to find righteousness, someone will tell you, I believe in Jesus. Does that mean they're saved?
No.
Well, believing is not just a mental conception. Believing in Jesus entails an individual coming to that place where they realize that although they have a gift of free will, choice, to do as they wish, to make a name in life, because every day of our living, we are making a name, we are writing a story. and the cover of a book is your name. You are writing a name. And when I say a name, it isn't just a label. It speaks of your life and the authority and the power and the privilege you have in spelling out your life. But you know, when a person comes to a point where they realize that the pen, which has the ink of life, which they are using to write on the pages of time, the ink of life doesn't belong to them. The pages of time were just given to them. Therefore, wisdom or prudence requires for you to pause and ask the one who gave you the ink of life and the pages of time, you need to ask, what story am I supposed to write?
That's right.
And you and I, Brother Nzima, we came to a point where we were no longer interested in writing our own storybooks.
Amen.
We said, no,
Amen.
Lord, burn this book. We threw it away. And what did we do? We died to ourselves. We died to our own name.
That's right.
We desired to rise in the newness of life, inviting Jesus in our hearts so that we live by his name. Because the name of Jesus is the name of our husband.
Amen.
And that entails the born again experience, dying to the flesh and rising in the newness of life, so that it is no longer you that liveth, but Christ that is in you. Like Paul says, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, it's no longer about your name. Your life is no longer built around your name. It is Jesus Christ who is manifesting himself through you. So baptism is not just a mental conception. It's a serious decision which someone makes to say, I cease to live to manifest my own name. I make a decision to manifest the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So him that believes in who? Believes in Jesus. Now, do you know what it means to believe in Jesus? You throw away your ambition. And well, Brother Nzima, we're living in a world where you have these strange terms which have found themselves, they've encroached in Christianity. They say self-love. You've heard terms like that?
Yes.
That's not the gospel.
No, it's not.
The gospel is, it's no longer I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me. And I tell you what, there's fullness of joy in doing that. You know, and so him that believeth in who? John 3:16, him that believeth in Jesus. Now, when you believe in Jesus, you cease to live your own life.
Amen.
The Lord becomes your Savior. He becomes your husband. He becomes your Lord. And now, let us read, Acts 4 verse 12. We want to see the importance of this name. Acts 4 verse 12.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
Mm.
For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Now, Brother Nzima, we need to follow the sequence, huh? In Mark 16 verse 15 to 16, the scripture said, him that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Saved speaks of what? Salvation.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. Under heaven speaks about, well, those who are still living, like you and I here on earth, but well, even those who've departed, who are in heavenly places. Now, whether we are living here on earth, or you've already departed, you are in the presence, or that person has gone to be with the Lord, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
What is this name? We need to start from verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Please, if you don't have a Bible and you're just listening to this, grab your Bible, read Acts 4 verse 10. Mm-hmm. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
The name Jesus Christ.
Mm.
All right?
Amen.
So now, we've seen in Mark 1 verse 15 to 16, him that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Mm. Mm.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. Salvation is receiving eternal life.
Amen.
And then now we can see that this salvation is connected to a name, and in Acts 4 verse 12 there is no any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Now let us read John 5 and verse 43. John 5 and verse 43.
Mm-hmm. I am come in my Father's name.
Yes.
And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
So here the Lord Jesus says he came in his Father's name. There's something more to that than just saying I came in my Father's authority.
Mm.
Jesus literally had the Father's name in him.
Amen.
All right? His very name, Jesus, means Jehovah is Savior. Or in Hebrew, Yahshua, Yahweh is Savior. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Yes.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son,
mm-hmm.
whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Heir of all things. Now, Brother Nzima, if you are a father and then you have children and maybe you are no longer there and your children inherit the things you have, one thing which is important, which entitles these children to that inheritance is their name. Okay, and they become heirs because they are joined, they are connected to your name. And you know the scripture says, if we live for Christ and we shall inherit what he has because we have his name, all right? And hath appointed heir of all things by whom also he made the worlds. Now, let us go to verse 4.
Being made so much better than the angels.
Yes.
As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Now Jesus inherited the name of the Father. Now you can see that the scripture we read in John, he says, I came in my Father's name. Is that right?
That's right.
And here we are told, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There is no angel who has the Father's name in him. Jesus Christ has the Father's name in him, and the Father has given him authority. He will be the king who rule this world one day as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords.
That's
and
right.
Through his name we have salvation, and therefore we even in speaking ascribe to him that which the Father did. For example, through Jesus were the worlds created. One may say so.
Amen.
Not to state that Jesus pre-existed, but he hath by inheritance obtained
right.
a more excellent name. Okay?
Amen.
What the Father is, what the Father did, Jesus Christ completely emptied himself of his choices, which he rightly had, and he allowed the Spirit without measure to fill him completely. Now, when you read a scripture like that, it doesn't mean Jesus was like a container and the Spirit is measured in liters or whatever measure, but It points to the fact that in Jesus, the Father found a human vessel that he could completely fill and manifest his will and purposes.
Amen.
Until what Jesus spoke was the speaking of God himself. Mm. You know, and he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
That's right.
How does the name of God get into us?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a label of Christian. It is the will of God. Because, you know, when God manifests himself, that is a declaration of who he is.
Mm.
That's his name.
Mm.
And when we open our hearts to the Father, and for his spirit to work through us, we become a manifestation of the name of God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ was the full manifestation of the name of God.
Mm.
And so all that God was poured in Christ, and all that Christ is has to manifest in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you accept that or show a declaration of that by getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let us read Ephesians 3 verse 15. Ephesians 3 verse 15. You can read that, Brother Nzima.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth and earth is named.
Now, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start from verse 14. Ephesians 3 verse 14 and 15.
For this cause,
yes,
I bow my knees unto the Father,
mm-hmm,
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Now, do you see how important the name of Jesus is?
Amen.
The whole family in heaven.
Yes.
Those who are in heaven, those who've gone before us,
mm-hmm,
those who are already in the presence of God,
mm-hmm,
and those who are on earth, those who are living saints, of whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Jesus Christ, how can you get baptized namelessly?
That's right.
You see, one tactic of the devil, Brother Nzima,
mm-hmm,
is to make light of something which is very essential and critical.
Amen. That's right.
When someone reduces baptism to a water or swimming exercise to say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, it's just an act of faith. It doesn't matter what names are invoked, mm-hmm, you know, when you are getting baptized. No, it's very important because it's a very important part of the ceremony, if I can use that term.
Amen.
The name. There is a reason why when the apostles were going around when casting out the devils, they said, in the name of Jesus, we adjure you to come out.
Amen.
They could have simply said, hey, leave him, come out. They would have easily done that, right?
Mm.
When we pray for the sick, we pray in the name of Jesus. Now, do you know the word of God says, in everything you do, do all in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's
now, when you read Ephesians 3:15, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, that tells you the reason why all believers we read of in the New Testament church were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, may I mention something here quickly? In Matthew 28:19, the scripture that we had read, it states in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, mm-hmm, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What do denominations do when baptizing someone? They simply say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do you realize that when someone baptizes you like that, they haven't done anything?
Mm-hmm.
You've just had a cool shower, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing which has happened. No name has been mentioned. When someone says, I baptized you in the name of the Father, they haven't mentioned any name. Because guess what? Even the devil is the father of lies.
That's right.
And that gives you the reason why when Peter received this instruction in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he had a revelation. He knew it was his work to know what is the name of the Father.
That's right.
See, if I give you a check and I say you cash it in my name, it doesn't mean on that check you write pastor or you write brother.
Mm-hmm.
That is meaningless. You need to find out what is the name of this pastor, what is the name of this boss, what is the name of whatever title has been mentioned.
Yes.
So when Jesus says, for example, cast out demons in my name,
mm-hmm.
are you going to just repeat that phrase the way it is? I cast you demon in my name. No, it is your homework to find out what is his name. So today we cast out devils in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sick in the name of Jesus. But strangely, when baptizing, people merely repeat the titles. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is ridiculous.
Yes.
No name has been mentioned because Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Even Holy Spirit is not a name. When you say holy, that is just an adjective describing a noun, spirit. It means a spirit which is not evil, but a spirit which is holy.
That's right.
That is why now when you read Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when you see how these disciples applied that instruction, how they actually executed it, let us read Acts 2 verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
You see, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of
Jesus Christ. Christ.
Peter did not just start repeating, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son. He had a revelation. He knew that there's only one God, who is the Father, and he is Yahweh. But yet, mankind did not know Yahweh. The visible revelation, or we say, the interface God chose through which to interact with man, was Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Jesus was the express image of the invisible God. God spoke to mankind through that vessel. And so we know God through Jesus Christ. And so we know that Jesus came in the Father's name. You see that?
Yes.
And the Father is not a human being. He is a spirit. John 4:24, God is spirit.
Mm.
And he's not an evil spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. So when you look at the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, these are not three gods. There is only one God who manifested in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
The same invisible God was manifest in the flesh. All right. Now, so we see Peter baptizing people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Acts 8, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
For as yet, he was not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Do you see again here? We see that people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 10 verse 48.
And he commanded them
mm-hmm.
to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain
days. So here again we see people are baptized in the name of the Lord. Other versions would spell it out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let us read Acts 19, verse 1 to 6. Now, as we read Acts 19, I think there was a third question.
There was a fourth question.
Fourth question, rather. It was about getting rebaptized, right?
If a person was baptized wrongly,
mm-hmm.
can he or she be baptized again?
Of course, because if you are baptized wrongly, you were not baptized at all. And we see here a group of people who did not know about the New Testament baptism, and Paul had to rebaptize them.
Mm-hmm.
So Acts 19, verse 1 to 6, quickly.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Do you realize, brother and Zima, that every instance when people are baptized, it doesn't just say they were baptized.
That's right.
every place, every time the phrase is completed, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I think that tells us how important that this is. Now, someone may say, well, but the thief on the cross when Jesus Christ was dying, the man who said, who rebuked the other thief to say, why are you speaking those words? This man did not deserve to die. And the thief asked Jesus, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. And the Lord Jesus said, well, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. And of course, that thief was not baptized, mm-hmm. seeing, you know, the reason for which he was crucified there. He obviously lived a wrong life.
Yes.
And some people try to take solace in that by saying, well, that thief, he was a thief, he died and was still saved.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
How strange for people to try to find comfort in any way and at whatever cost. That was a crucified thief.
Mm-hmm.
You are a walking, free, breathing thief. Your feet and your hands are not nailed to a cross. If you've come to a place of giving your life to God, you need to be baptized.
That's right.
But it's not just a ritual you go through, you know, like a formula, like you want to secure your salvation. No. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, taking the name of Jesus Christ in your life is more than just a one-day occurrence. It's not just a ritual. It's a symbol to show something which has happened in your heart.
That's right.
That now you are surrendered to God. You surrender your life to Him and you allow Him to lead you. And all life, whichever way you live it, all life and everything we do can be summarized to one of the two things.
Mm.
You are either writing your own story or you come to a point of saying, hey, I don't own the pages. The ink of life was just loaned to me. I want to write His story, the story that God intended me to write. And when you do that, your old carnal story is burnt.
Amen.
Through the baptism of fire.
Mm.
And you start living and manifesting the Word of God. In other words, your name is now written in the book of life.
Amen.
What is the writing of your name in the book of life? There's only one name which is in the book of life, and it is Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, you become a part of that name.
Amen.
Well, Brother Nzima, I think we end there.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. Thank you so much. And I believe, brothers and sisters, you have been blessed. May the Lord richly bless you all. And those who are not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is an opportunity for you to be baptized. Now, remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on this number. 0979-31698.
Oh, you left out something there. 0979-31-6098. So 0979-31-6098.
All right. Let's say if somebody is listening to us outside Zambia, our country code is 260+26.
Yeah.
So that should be +260-979-316-098.
Amen.
I want God's way to